pray. If you have a chance to read yesterday's Journal Sentinel, there was an article about biblical archaeology and a coin that was found. So if you have a chance to read that article, I think it's worth it. And if you start reading it, read all the way through, because later on it talks about what happened to the person that was the archaeologist. Fascinating article. Did anybody here read that yesterday? Yeah, I just thought it was a fascinating article. The scripture readings of the liturgical year brings us to lives lost and lives won. The liturgical readings today from scripture talk of death, murder, because of fear. Fear is an amazing emotion. Because of fear, we can fight. Because of fear, we can freeze. Because of fear, we can flee. And because of fear, we can hate. Recently, Philip Chard, a psychotherapist, asked this question. Considering the degree of carnage we humans inflict on one another, it begs the question, why are we this way? He answers the question, while our kind is certainly capable of altruism and goodness, there seems an equal measure of malevolence in our nature. Anthropologists attribute this in part to our ancestral past as a tribal species. We were comfortably accustomed to living in small, homogeneous social groups, and many of us probably still are. Today, tribal communities are rare. So rather than relating to a collection of humans bound by a close-knit familiar culture with a familial set of values, most of us are scattered across a diverse and broad cultural landscape. No longer restrained by geography or limited means of communication, today we encounter many more people than our forebears, yet most of them are other, strangers. Tribal species tend to look upon all but their own kind as a potential threat, xenophobia. What's more, they want to defend their territory. Today, however, the concept of my territory is not so much about geography as it is about wealth or power or moral or political beliefs. Our first subconscious question upon meeting someone unknown to us is, are you like me? When we cast a wary eye toward those who are different, the resulting suspicion and fear position us to dehumanize them. And this is the first and faithful step toward hate. Much that is evil in our nature and our actions arises directly from fear. So be it fear of one another, of perceived injustice, or beliefs or lifestyles different from our own, this emotion fuels the fire of hatred and violence. So what did fear do to Herod? He massacred one and two-year-old babies in and around the village of Bethlehem. What did the members of the freedmen group and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians do after they argued with Stephen, one of the first deacons? They were enraged and killed him by stoning him. Now, I understand that today is just days after Christmas, so it is hard to go from the gospel message of peace and joy and goodwill to all peoples, to the message of hate. But the Christmas story includes the killing of babies. And the birth of the new church, as told in Acts, recalls the first murder of a person who followed Jesus. The authors of Scripture are giving us a clue to what it means to be simply around Jesus the Christ. A great theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in meditating on the celebration of Holy Communion, wrote this. The day of the Lord's Supper is an occasion of joy in the Christian community. Reconciled in their hearts with God and brothers and sisters, the congregation receives the gift of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and in receiving that, receives forgiveness and salvation. It is given a new fellowship with God and humankind. The fellowship of the Lord's Supper is the superlative fulfillment of Christian fellowship. As the members of the congregation are united in body and blood at the table of the Lord, so they will be together in eternity. And here the community has reached its goal. Their joy in Christ and community is complete. The life of Christians together under the Word has reached its perfection in the sacrament. Now, we may think of a theologian like Dietrich Bonhoeffer sitting in a study on a soft chair in a study full of esoteric books on theology. You're right, but only partly correct. He was a Protestant minister, and he wrote extensively about God and men. He lived in Germany when World War II started, and recalled that the hate-filled pogroms against the Jewish people and others started in that country many years before then. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as I stated, was a great theologian, but also a very involved and compassionate pastor, and most importantly, in history, a vehement anti-Nazi dissident. He fell in love with Maria von Wiedemeyer, and they were engaged to be married. 3 months later, he was arrested. While he was in his first prison, he wrote to Maria on August 12, 1943. When I also think about the situation of our world, the complete darkness over our personal faith and my present imprisonment, then I believe that our union can only be a sign of God's grace and kindness, which calls us to faith. We would be blind if we did not see it. The prophet Jeremiah says at the moment of his people's great need, still one shall buy houses and acres in this land as a sign of trust in the future. And this, Maria, is where faith belongs. May God give it to us daily. And I do not mean the faith which flees the world, but the one that endures the world and which loves and remains true to the world in spite of all the suffering which contains for us. Our marriage, Maria, shall be a yes to God's earth. It shall strengthen our courage to act and accomplish something on the earth. I fear that Christians who stand with only one leg upon the earth also stand with only one leg in heaven. So while in the midst of darkness and in prison, Dietrich Bonhoeffer held hope that he would be released and marry Maria. However, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had antagonized the Nazi dictatorship because of their persecution and murder of Jews and others, but also killing, euthanizing is the supposedly nicer term, people who were mentally and physically handicapped. According to some historians, more than 5,000 children and 70,000 challenged adults were euthanized by that regime. Obviously, the government would not permit someone like Dietrich Bonhoeffer to continue his persistent and vigorous vocal opposition to it. So as I stated, in April 1943, the famed Gestapo arrested him. He was sent to the Tegel, a military prison, where he stayed for 18 months. He wrote the letter, which I read a portion of today, while in that military prison. He wrote extensively, and a lot of his writings were smuggled out of the prison, and that's why we have so many of them. This is one of the prayers he wrote. It's really a meditation on himself and his relationship to God. Who am I? They often tell me I would step from my cell confinement calmly, cheerfully, firmly, like a squire from his country house. Who am I? They often tell me I would talk to my warders freely and friendly and clearly, as though it were mine to command. Who am I? They also tell me I would bear the days of misfortune equitably, smilingly, proudly, like one accustomed to win. Am I then really all that which other men tell of? Or am I only what I know of myself, reckless and longing and sick like a bird in a cage, struggling for breath as though hands were compressing my throat, yearning for colors, for flowers, for voices of birds, thirsting for words of kindness, for neighborliness, trembling with anger and despotisms and petty humiliation, tossing in expectation of great events, powerlessly trembling for friends at an infinite distance, weary and empty at praying, at thinking, at making, faint and ready to say farewell to it all. Who am I? This or the other? Am I one person today and tomorrow another? Am I both at once? A hypocrite before others, and before myself, a contemptibly woebegone weakling? Or is something within me still like a beaten army, fleeing in disorder from victory already achieved? Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was taken from prison and then sent to a Nazi concentration camp. He was just one person, just a single person, one person, but he was one person who was desperately trying to make a difference in the world around him. We have heard that Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote about the joy that when he felt when the Lord's Supper was celebrated and he was with his fellow parishioners and others. We have heard of the hope of his marriage to Maria. However, the marriage never took place because he was executed by hanging on April 9, 1945. What is absolutely ironic, and sadly ironic, is that just 2 weeks later, U.S. soldiers liberated the very camp where he died. And what is even more poignant is on May 7, 1945, just 29 days after he was killed, the Nazis surrendered. World War II ended in Europe. As I mentioned, Bonhoeffer wrote extensively. When he realized the impact of Hitler's persecution of Jews and others, he boldly proclaimed to his church that it could not just bandage the victims under the wheel, but must jam the spoke of the wheel itself. Another time he wrote this, "The church in this world remains a church under the cross. Woe to the church that already here wants to become a church of visible glory. It has denied the Lord on the cross. Faith, hope, and love all lead to the cross to be perfected. When we go out of the church now, we are going to a world longing for the things we have spoken of here. Of course, it longs not only for words, but for reality. A humanity that has been deceived and disappointed thousands of times needs faith. A wounded and suffering humanity needs hope. A humanity that has fallen into discordant distrust needs love. And if we no longer have any compassion on our own poor soul, which truly needs all of this too, then at least have compassion on a poor humanity. It wants to learn from us, to believe, hope, and love anew. Don't deny it to them. Let's allow God to shout it at us. Believe, hope, and above all, love, and you will overcome the world." So we come full circle to today's readings. These are not the readings from Scripture that we expect after words of peace and comfort after Christmas. The massacre of innocent babies is reported while Jesus was just a toddler. And the death of St. Stephen was the first death of a new church, new church's own birth after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. St. Stephen was one person, just a lone person, just an individual. But he was one person who was desperately trying to make a difference in the world based upon his strong belief in Jesus and everything Jesus lived and died for. So, almost immediately after Christmas season, we find ourselves in scripture itself in the suffering and murder of innocent lives. We find that Herod feared his power would be lost. And in the birth of the church, we find ourselves in lives lost and lives won because of human depravity. Herod, the Friedman Synagogue Group, the Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and Hitler and the Nazi Party all feared something or wanted greater power or were just depraved, which brought them and those with them to hate and murder. We have a choice. We have a choice to follow Jesus and live lives of mercy and compassion. We can be both sympathetic and empathetic to the lives of others. We need not be suspicious of other people. Jesus taught us to forgive, and we pray that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. We should have hearts of gratitude for everything we do have, and gratitude leads to sharing. Jesus, by the way he lived his life and by what he taught us, showed us how to heal and thereby bring about God's kingdom on this earth. So in today's scripture reading, we were struck by the savage history of the death of babies and toddlers and St. Stephen 2,000 years ago. And in reflecting on Bonhoeffer's life and death less than 71 years ago, we are again struck by savagery. So as humans, do we learn from the past and can we learn from the past? And my answer is yes, we do and we can. But it is up to you and to me to learn and then do what we can in our world. I'm only one person and you are only one person. Just a single, solitary person, one person. But if you stand up to follow what Jesus taught and live how Jesus lived and why he died, then you will make a difference in this world. Everyone has a circle of family and friends. They each need hope and love. They need to be encouraged in their faith. They need you. We're not called to die as St. Stephen and Dietrich Bonhoeffer died. But what we can do is to serve Jesus and serve what is true. The truth was very important to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote, "No person in the whole world can change the truth. One can only look for the truth, find it, and serve it. The truth is in all places." Dietrich Bonhoeffer pointed out that Christians cannot retreat from the world, but act within it, as he said so well in the face of those who hated. This is the last quote. "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." Amen. Please stand if you are able. Hymn 1.